This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Squeeze play! You make my heart sing! We talk everything baseball! Come on, squeeze play!
Lynn's cutter was working. Look at what he's done over his last three starts. Had 11 Ks last night. Finished off his final two Mariners with 95 miles per hour. Other notes that I took from this one, Guzman with a clutch first run batted in. Gallo was on the base pass and no one could knock him in. And there's Guzman with the two out RBI to make it 1-0. How about the Nomar slide? Beating the throw from center field on the Asdrubal Cabrera sack fly. That was overturned after the Rangers challenged it. That made it 2-0. Nomar, RBI double, drove in Hunter Pence. That was his second double of the game. And the really, really big two-run insurance homer from Joey Gallo to make it 5-2. And Sean Kelly returns, gives up one run in the ninth. But he says the scary part is over.
Yeah.
After test results from that mass removed from his throat came back benign.
That is fantastic news. Sean Kelly is a guy who's been around the league for a long, long time and was probably going to help the Rangers trade-wise at the deadline if they were so inclined. Now, they're only a game and a half out of the wild card, but you know, chances are they're going to still want to be sellers. Worst place to be is in the middle. Sean Kelly's going to help them out. Plus, all reports, I mean, he's a very good dude. You don't want to see anything health-wise happen to these guys, so it's great for him. I want to touch on Lance Lynn real quick, who went seven innings again last night, allowing just the two earned runs on five hits. So in his last three starts, he has lowered his ERA over a full run over his last three starts. In those three starts, 21 innings pitched, 20 walks plus hits, so they like to use whip as a good indicator of success from a pitcher. You want it to be a little bit less than one of your reliever. You can go a little bit higher than one as a starter, but his is under one. That's very, very good. Six earned runs in those 21 innings. His ERA over those last three starts, 2.57. 8-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Huge right there. 24 Ks, 3 walks, 329 pitches. He's going deep into games. He is saving the bullpen. And the Rangers are doing something cool. They're giving him a lot of times, you know, like every two starts, they'll give him 6 days in between starts. Save his arm. It's key. Lance Lynn might be a guy that they want to move at the deadline. He was moved last year at the deadline and did very, very well for the Yankees down the stretch. So, you know, they've got some opportunities here with the pitchers. Another thing, the reason that they may be going letting him go deep is there's probably not a whole lot of trust in the bullpen. Last night, I texted Sandler during the game. I was like, are you surprised he's still in there? Seventh inning, lets the first two guys get on base. Look, they don't trust the bullpen very much. Would you?
No.
Right now, I can't. Now, Leclerc, he did okay. You know, he came in there, didn't allow anything, so that's good. But there's not a whole lot of faith in what's going on in the pen.
And did Jared say he was surprised?
No, he wasn't. He said this is by design. You know, that's why they're giving him partly the extra day rest. Now, we were talking. He goes, this might be his last batter. And it turned out that they let him finish the inning, but it was not necessarily something that is surprising because, you know, they just, quite frankly, they don't trust the bullpen and they were going to give him that extra day off.
Did you see Sandler's story about the opposing pitcher?
I don't believe I did.
This was awesome. This is Tommy Malone pitching for Seattle. Yeah. And Sandler tweeted this out right before the game. Apparently, they knew each other at USC.
Ooh.
Now, I still don't know what Jared did baseball-wise at USC.
Scorekeeper, official scorer.
Yeah, he gives the impression like he actually, you know, played or was on the field, but I don't think so. But here's what he said. Tommy Malone is starting tonight for the Mariners. Awesome guy. Was a junior at USC when I was a freshman. Tremendous ping pong player. One of my favorite Tommy stories took place our first series of the year. I think it was 08 in Miami versus FIU. He was a starting pitcher, so his stuff was taken care of. Decided to go out with a group of guys. I was among that group. We all broke curfew, but it didn't matter because it wasn't like I was playing. It was a great time. But when we got back to the hotel, we were not ready for the night to end. An hour or so later, there were only four of us still up, and somehow wrestling came on TV. Parentheses, Troy, the fake kind. That's Sandler. Tommy, who was hydrated, saw one of the wrestlers pile drive the other guy. So what did he do? Found the closest guy to him, thankfully not me, picked him up and pile drove him onto the bed so hard it snapped the bed in half. It was Tommy's bed.
Lucky he didn't snap the guy's neck.
He decided to sleep on it that night and the next morning told them it cracked overnight and the team bought in. So they're on the early morning bus for the game the next day. And it was one of those movie scenes where the bus didn't start and the manager, Chad Kruder, walking up and down the aisle waiting for people to admit they broke curfew. No one did. He eventually got ticked, rattled off the names of those he believed broke curfew. He only got half of us. Tommy got away with it. Sandler somewhere has video of that pile drive.
Wow.
By the way, speaking of Jared Sandler, I'm looking here. According to his bio, Jared Sandler was a member of the USC baseball team.
What?
He served as a practice player and aided in baseball operations, and also because of the wrestling shot, he was also serving as a hitting tee. He was so short.
Oh, stop.
On top of his head.
On top of his head, yeah.
Stop it. Now, the Rangers are 23-23. They have outscored their opponents by 13 runs. I bring that up because I wanted to touch on the preseason projections for the Rangers and other teams as well. The Rangers were projected to win 69 games this year, according to Pecota. That was the one that had the Cubs in last place. They were projected to win 69 games and get outscored by 122 runs. They have currently, through 46 games, outscored their opponents, and they are on pace for 81 wins. That will be a 12-win improvement based off of the projections from Pecota's website. The team that is really straight, absolutely destroying Pecota is the Chicago Cubs.
Our Cubs.
Is that our Cubs?
Well, we didn't understand why they were put in last.
Right.
You have an older rotation, but you have a ton of talent.
Yeah, so here the Cubs sit at 28-18. That is a very good mark. We're more than a quarter of the way through the season. So, I mean, that is among the best in baseball. The Dodgers have more wins. They have 32, but that's, you know, they have two fewer losses than the Phillies do. They've got a fewer wins than the Astros, Twins, and the New York Yankees. Other than that, the Cubs are right there in the thick of things. So the preseason projections were not kind to them, and the Cubs are not being kind to the preseason projections. And why is that the case, you might ask? Because the Cubs' starting pitching, or pitching in general, their ERA this year, Cole Hamels, 3/4 of a run lower. Jose Quintana, 0.5 run. Kyle Hendricks, 0.75 run. Yu Darvish is higher. John Lester, almost 2.5 runs better. Tyler Chatwood, almost 2 runs better. Steve Cisek, 1.5 better. They're eviscerating the projections. Good on the Cubs for not paying attention
Darvish
to that.
Darvish has a 5.06 ERA.
Yeah, he was projected to have a 8.1.
Hamels is a 3.13.
Yikes.
3.13, that's good.
Yeah, it is. It is, but he was not projected to have that. He was supposed to go over 4. All right, so let's do the difference real quick between baseball today.
The Cubs, real quick, their team leader in home runs, 11 home runs. But they have 4 guys with 11. They have 4 guys tied for the team lead in home runs with 11.
Let's do the difference between baseball today and 30 years ago. This is the call from the great, and I do mean great, Gary Thorne on Orioles broadcast yesterday. The Orioles played the New York Yankees.
Cashner's 1-0 delivery to him. Torres drives that ball center field, hit deep. Going back near the wall, Wilkerson maybe, nope, goodbye home run. Get him out of there! Don't throw to him.
I never seen anything like
Put up 4 fingers.
I've never seen anything like it.
He is just tearing the Orioles apart.
Gosh, so, I love Gary Thorne.
Great voice. That's Gleyber Torres they're talking about. He has 7 home runs this year against the Orioles.
Woo!
We're in the middle of May.
How many does he have total?
not many more. Like, a majority of his home runs are against the Baltimore Orioles this year. So, the problem is...
He's got 10 on the year.
Yeah, 70%. In 30 years ago, 20 years ago, he'd have gotten hit.
Yeah.
He'd have gotten plunked.
Yep.
I'm not advocating hitting a guy, but I am advocating scaring the you-know-what out of him at least just once. You've got to find a way to not be able to allow a guy to hit 7 home runs off of you by the middle of May. That is just stunning. And if you're the Orioles, it's even more stunning because they have allowed their 100th home run of the season already. They've played 48 games. They're allowing 2 home runs a game.
Huh.
That's the fastest in Major League history to allow 100 home runs by 9 games. Okay, 9 games is the next fastest. And here the Orioles sit 48 games into their season, and they've allowed 100 home runs.
All right, so the Orioles have the worst record in the, or the least amount of wins in the AL. The Marlins, don't look at the standings.
Okay.
The Marlins have the least in the NL and all of baseball. Guess the Orioles' run differential.
All right, I have not looked. I will say...
The Marlins, for reference, run differential is minus 88.
And the Orioles are worse or better?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. I'll say the Orioles are at 103.
Minus 105.
Okay.
Minus 105. They've been outscored to that degree. 15-33 on the season. Marlins are 14-31.
The Orioles are absolutely a train wreck. Peter Angelos is the owner out there, and he's been a disaster since he signed Albert Bell.
The baseball devil.
Yep. I mean, he has just been a disaster. They need to... I mean, I saw it in that Peter King article we talked about on Monday. One of the suggestions was have the fans vote to elect ownership. Crazy idea, dumb idea. But if anybody should not be the owner of a professional team, it's Peter Angelos.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.